Since 1980, when then governor and candidate for president Jimmy Carter mentioned that he had been born again, ever since that time, there has been so much nonsense spread about what it means to be born again. Unfortunately, it's a given. It's a given that whenever the secular world gets its hands on the spiritual, they're gonna mess up. Don't think for a moment that's just a Christian thing. They mess up everything. I was working with our personnel manager at the factory, and she was asking me if I would participate in a group that was going to work on improving diversity in the factory. I said, that's something I really probably better get my hands on. And she said, you know, we should perhaps recognize at least some of the holidays of other religious groups. I said, well, I don't have a problem with that. Anytime you guys want to buy me lunch, that's fine with me. And they said, maybe we could do like a lunch for Yom Kippur. How many of you have a problem with that? If you're Jewish, you do, because Yom Kippur is a fast. There aren't too many Yom Kippur recipes out there. I don't know what the deal is. And this is the lady who's going to teach the rest of us about diversity. When the secular world gets its hands on the spiritual, they're going to mess up. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter speaks twice, amazingly, about being born again. When we talk about being born again, as I said last week, often our minds go to John chapter 3, you must be born again. Well, actually, Peter talks about it a great deal and gives us a lot of information about it. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. And then I'm going to go into chapter 2, all the way to verse 3. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like a flower of the grass. But the grass withers, and the flower drops off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached as the gospel, as the good news to you. So rid yourselves of all wickedness, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the unadulterated spiritual milk so that you may grow by it in your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you are good. And if we said nothing else about you, we could say that 1,000 times. You are good. Your mercies endure forever. And you offer us a new birth, bringing us into your family through a power that cannot perish. Open our minds to understand it more in Jesus' name. Amen. Out in the tract rack, we have these. This purple tract, which it says, the new birth. And it starts just like my sermon does. I didn't see this track before I wrote the sermon, but the first thing it does is, point one is, what the new birth is not. Well, as I said, the media has done so much to mess it up, I think I do have to spend some time on what the new birth is not. I have to clear some of the cobwebs that have even gotten into the church. The most important thing I can tell you about the new birth is that it's not an option. It's not one of those things you can do if you want. Now, related to that, and then I'm going to spend some time on it, it's not a particular sect Or Heavens to Betsy, it's not a party. A particular, but those born again people. Those born again people are everyone who's a Christian. I was having it was around that 1980 period. I was having a discussion with some people, churchgoers, every one of them. And I'm not talking Sunday only, I'm talking twice on Sunday and during the week, and very involved in the church. And they were saying, I don't know about all this born-again stuff. It doesn't make any sense to me or why this is considered a necessity. And I just interjected. I said, well, actually, you don't disagree with the born-again people. You disagree with Jesus. I believe he said you must be born again. Was that word must in there? It's not an option. It's not a particular bunch of people. It is descriptive of everyone who truly is a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there is one concept we need to clear out, and we may need to clear it out of the church. And I don't know, maybe I need to clear it out of your own mind. So, buckle up. Being born again is not about getting forgiven by God and then going on and doing the best you can. That concept is definitely there. Well, we'll mingle God's grace with our works. No, it cannot be. I want you to get into your mind the concept of being born. What? I'm so glad Danielle's here. Because Danielle gave birth to Miley, and we're very thrilled that she did. And so after she gave birth to Miley, she says, all right, Miley, you're on your own. Good luck. Do the best you can. Right? Or is that how you'd treat a Christian? Is that how God treats us? But that's what so many would say. Well, God will forgive me. God will get me started, and then I'll go do the best I can. Well, this doesn't mean you shouldn't strive in the Christian life to live a godly life, but that's not what the new birth is about. The problem with the world's view is that it relies on dead things to give you life. It relies on dead things to give you life. And so having said that, it's ultimately self-condemning. Your own efforts are dead. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. After it mentions being born again, it says, rid yourselves of all wickedness, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. How many of you can say, phew, well, I'm through all that. I've accomplished that. If getting born again is getting forgiven by God, and then you have to go on and do all of this, how are you going to do? I'll tell you, you're going to do about as well as you did before you got saved. It's a dead hope. It's a self-condemning hope. It ultimately destroys you. Okay, didn't want to spend much time on that because I want to jump right to what the new birth really is. It's central to Christianity. It is central to everything. Verses 3 and 23 both mention it. Verse 3 says, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is life. Then he says, we were born again by what? Not perishable seed, but imperishable through the living Word of God. We're going to get into that. John. Now we think right away of John chapter 3, but listen to John chapter 1. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood or of the will of the flesh, but by the will of man, but of God. Of course, the Apostle Paul writes of it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creature, a new creation. A new birth, a new start. Old things have passed away. and new things have come. Titus 3:5 also speaks of the washing of regeneration, new birth. James 1:18, by his own choice, God gave us new birth in the message of truth. So this is not a John thing or a Peter thing or a Paul thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's a God thing. It is universal throughout the New Testament. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. That's what Peter writes. Why do you need to be born again? Answer, because every one of you has been born of perishable seed. Every one of you has been born of perishable seed. My father has died. Tim's will. And we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it, but it's a reality. Everyone in this room is born of perishable seed. Many of you, your parents have passed away. And all of you know they will. It's an uncomfortable subject, but it's a true subject. We are born of perishable seed. But what does God say? I want you to be born of imperishable seed. All flesh is grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower drops off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached as the gospel to you. I want to focus for just a moment on that word of the Lord. When you hear that term, when you hear that expression, the grass withers, the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. What do you think of the word of the Lord? Is this what comes to your mind? A Bible? Comes to mind. But I have to tell you, that's not entirely what Peter's talking about. Yes, what he's talking about is in here. But look at what he says in verse 25. This is the word that was preached as the gospel to you. When Peter preached to these people, as I assume he did, or at least someone did they give them the whole Bible? Probably not. But it is the message of the gospel that he's referring to. And what is our gospel? There's a reason why I keep repeating this. It's because we forget. So what is our good news that we proclaim? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And I like to add saying, and he was seen. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't an apparition. He was seen. He was touched. He was handled. He was embraced. He ate. Got to tell you, for a resurrection body, that's good news. I'm getting a resurrection body. I'd hate to think I couldn't do that. Someone once said that I'll be cooking bratwurst at the wedding supper of the Lamb. But notice what that's telling us, is that the gospel is the word of the Lord preached to them that brought about their new birth. What does that mean? That as you proclaim the gospel, you are proclaiming life. You are declaring life into a dead world. You are bringing imperishable seed to perishable. And that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're bringing life. Now there is this misconception that the new birth is all about forgiveness. Well, it includes forgiveness, but it's all about being born into a family. And God don't give birth to junk. You're precious and special, a masterpiece in His sight. Yes, you are. And I know in some of your hearts and minds there's objection. Well, God, maybe messed up in getting me into your family. No, He didn't. He thinks you're special, you're precious, you're important, you're necessary. You're loved, you're part of the family. Now, it's amazing what the new birth brings about. We think of forgiveness, we think of heaven. But I want to go back to Miley. And one of the first things she wanted when she was born, at least shortly thereafter, she wanted to eat. She wanted food. As newborn infants, desire the unadulterated spiritual milk that you may grow by it in your salvation. And we have a problem with that sometimes because often when we hear about spiritual milk, it's a negative tone, isn't it? Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, I couldn't give you meat, I had to give you milk. And we think of milk in a negative tone. Don't. Because he is talking here about what gets you going, about what is bringing you life. What brought you life in the first place? The Word of God. What is your spiritual food? It is the Word of God. Now that word unadulterated, it is the Greek negative of the word deceit. It is the Greek negative of the word deceit. There's a big reason why the Bible should be distributed to anyone and everyone who wants it. Because we have nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. And we want to give people the pure milk of the Word. You've been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. It brings about that hunger, but there's one other thing, and you see that in Miley as well. She attached to her family. She attached to her family. And if you're born again, you should want that spiritual milk, and you should want to be part of the family, involved with other people who are in that family. But note the most important thing it brings is in verse 3. You have tasted that the Lord is good. Love for family is great. Love for the Word, wonderful. But you need love for God. What is the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord. Some of us don't get past first base. You don't believe me? What is that first great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put that emphasis on all. With all your heart. And with all your soul. And with all your mind. And with all your strength. How many of you got that covered? Ladies and gentlemen, that's first base. How many of us are getting thrown out before the bat hits the ground? Grow in love for God through loving the family, through loving His Word. Going to move yourself up a notch from that chart? Drink deep this week. Drink deep. There's good stuff here. And let me stress something. I know, and I am thrilled, that people come to this church who know nothing about the Bible. Almost nothing, next to nothing. I have had people come to this church who didn't know who Judas Iscariot was. There might be people sitting here who don't know who Josiah was, but all the kids know. It was in their Sunday school class. If you're struggling, if you say, wait a minute, Jeff, you're encouraging me to read the Bible. I'm not even sure where to start. Talk to me. I will get you started. I will find a place for you to start. I'm serious. I'm glad to get you started. And when you say, okay, I did what you told me. I got started. I'll get you to the next step. I'll take you to every step you need. Gladly. Because I want you to know God's Word. Because we got nothing to hide. We got everything to reveal. I confess, there's parts of it I don't read with the greatest intensity. There's a whole lot of begats in there. There's good stuff there. I'll steer you past that until you mature. I'll be glad to help. Love God's Word. Love His family. And grow in love for Him. That's what the new birth brings with it. But I love how he ends. And so I want to encourage you with this. He says, you have tasted that the Lord is good. And of course, we had that in our scripture reading from Psalm 34. It's where he's quoting from. you have tasted that the Lord is good. And if the Lord is good, we went to a buffet last night. We do it quite often. And when you go to the buffet and you find one particular dish that's good, what are you going to do? You're going to find that spot, aren't you? And you're going to go right there, make a beeline for it, and you're going to find that everyone else thought it was good and there's none left. You're going to want more. You might stand there and wait till they replenish the supply. I've done that. The teriyaki steak, it's worth it. Is the Lord good to you? Because if you found him to be good, what are you going to do? Go back and get more. He's good. And his mercy endures forever. And his faithfulness through all generations. I encourage you. If you've not been born again, maybe you're sitting there saying, I just don't know if I have. This is the time to place your hand in Jesus' hand, the hand of the crucified and risen, the nail-scarred hand of Christ. I'll bet that hand looked pretty ugly at one time. But it was my sin that made it that ugly. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never placed your hand in that hand, come and talk to me.